Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this morning. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to the Word of God this morning. And probably about a month or so ago, I heard Robert, I must be thinking about you and Kathy. I heard John Bevere preach on a subject, and the subject was the fear of the Lord. I had not really had a good, clear understanding of what the fear of the Lord meant. I remember growing up, and I know some of you might remember growing up too. Maybe some of you younger people don't know this, but older ones do. My brother does, and Dolores remembers this too. We were growing up, and a storm would come up, and the lightning would flash, and the thunder would, and Mama and Daddy said, "Sit down, that's the Lord's work, be quiet." I guess they were trying to put the fear of God in us, but it was the wrong kind of fear. They would say, "Sit down, you know, be quiet." And so, and then you would hear all this stuff that would make you afraid of God. And then you read the Bible about the fear of God. So I'm thinking, okay, God, what's the fear of God? What's my health? What's the fear of God? And what a fear am I not supposed to have? You know? So this morning lesson's purpose is that we might begin to know and understand and walk in the fear of the Lord. So the subject is the fear of the Lord. A lot of us Christians, we don't understand the fear of the Lord. We don't know what it means. And we don't know the difference between the fear of the Lord and being afraid of God. And there is a difference. So what does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? You know, the Bible actually talks a lot about the subject of the fear of the Lord. It's all in the Bible, all in the New Testament. God always told the children of Israel to walk in fear of him. But we don't want to misunderstand the fear of the Lord. We want to know what it means, because we're not supposed to dread God. Enemies dread God. The demons tremble and they dread God. Sinners dread God because they think about judgment. But as children of God, we should have the fear of the Lord, which is totally different from being afraid of God. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12:13. We're going to talk about the fear of the Lord this morning, what it really means, and what walking in the fear of the Lord looks like. And we're going to go over some scriptures about the fear of the Lord. There's a lot, so I'm not going to do all of them. Couldn't even do all of them. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." And this is the New King James Version. Solomon wrote this. Solomon started out walking with the Lord. He started out listening to God and doing what was right in the eyesight of God. But then Solomon got further and further and further away from God. He allowed his wives that he took from other people, other nations, to take him further and further from God. And if you read Ecclesiastes, you will find out that Solomon tried all kinds of things. And he kept saying, but this is vanity and vexation. This is vanity and vexation. But in the very last verse of Ecclesiastes, Solomon ended up with this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all." Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Holiness is perfected in the fear of the Lord." Holiness is perfected in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this: "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." Holiness can only be perfected in the fear of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord rested on Jesus, and it was his delight. Isaiah 11:2-3. The fear of the Lord rested on Jesus, and it was his delight. Isaiah 11:2 said, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Then the next verse starts out saying, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He walked in the fear of the Lord, and his delight was in the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk more about what the fear of the Lord is in a minute. But Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He delighted in walking in the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to venerate him, to honor him, respect him, esteem him, value him, reverence him, to stand in awe of him, and to value him more than anything or anyone else. I'm going to go through that again. The fear of the Lord is to venerate him. Venerate means to worship, to honor him, respect him, esteem him, value him, reverence him, and to stand in awe of him and value him more than anything or anyone else. Have you ever had anyone you respected? You had a lot of respect for that person, or you esteemed them. That means you thought of them, you honored them, you put them above anything and anybody else. That's how we should be about God. We should have more honor for him than anyone else, more respect for him than anyone else, more esteem for him than anyone else. We should value him more than anyone else. We should reverence him more than anyone else. Stand in awe of him and value him more than anything or anyone else. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there anything in your life right now that you put before God in any of these areas? Are you honoring someone more than you honor him? Are you respecting someone more than you respect him? Are you esteeming something else or someone else more than him? Are you valuing anything else more than you value him? Are you standing in awe of something more than you stand in awe of him? If you are, then you are not totally walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what the fear of God means. It doesn't mean you're afraid of him, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit. That means you're walking, honoring, respecting, esteeming, valuing, reverencing him more than anything or anyone else. The people of Israel were afraid of God. In Exodus 20:20-21, we're going to read this. And Moses said to the people, Exodus 20:20-21. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Moses told the people what God told him to say. Do not fear. So God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He doesn't want his people and children to be afraid of him. But he wants us to walk in fear of him. And I just told you what the fear of God was. But the people, they stood far off. They didn't go close to God because they were afraid of God. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Moses valued God's presence more than anything else. So Moses was not afraid because Moses walked in honor of God. He walked in respect to God. He walked esteeming God. He walked valuing God. So he was not afraid to go into the thick darkness where God was. Sometimes we're afraid to go where God is calling us to go because we don't want to go there. We're afraid. We don't realize that with him, we don't have to be afraid. When you're walking in the fear of God, you go where God is. You go where God is leading you. Even though you might have physical fear in the flesh, but you still go where God is because you value God more than you value anything else. You're walking in the fear of God. You're not fearing what you might go into because you know that's where God is. That's where God is. That's where God is. That's where God is. Maybe think about Dolores this morning. She got back troubles and stuff, but she made her way here this morning. That don't mean God wanted home where she was, but evidently she had a heart desire to be here with the saints of God where God was. And sometimes it's like that. We just want to get out and go to church or go to a service. We know God is with us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. We just want to be around other saints of God where we can corporately worship together. So Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. I like that. He drew near the thick darkness where God was. He didn't think about the thick darkness. He just knew God was there. Moses was not afraid because he walked in the fear of God. He refused to be without God. Moses refused to be without God. He refused to be without God. Adam was afraid of God. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. And they heard the sound of the Lord God. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. And they talk about Adam and his wife. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam was afraid, so he hid himself. So what is fear of God that's opposite of walking in the fear of God? What's the fear of God of being afraid of God, as opposed to the fear of the Lord that the Bible talks about, that valuing him and worshiping him and honoring him? The type of fear that Adam had, the type of fear that the children of Israel had, they were scared of God or afraid of him because of something to hide, like Adam. When you have something to hide from God, then you are afraid of God. Adam hid because he was afraid. He had something to hide from God. He had disobeyed God. The children of Israel, they were afraid of God. They had something to hide. So when you have fear of God, that's not a healthy fear, that's not Bible fear of the Lord, then it's because you have something to hide from God. Anytime you have something to hide from God, you are going to be afraid of him. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is welcoming God, not having anything to hide. Matter of fact, the fear of the Lord is this. It was like Moses' case. He was terrified of being away from God. The fear of the Lord would terrify you of being away from him. That fearing God or being afraid of him is because we have something we want to hide from him. So you're not comfortable in his presence. So I hope you get that and understand it. When you have nothing to hide from God, then you can walk in the fear of the Lord. If you feel like you have something you don't want God to see, or want to hide, that you are afraid of God. It's one thing to be afraid of God, and it's another thing to have the fear of the Lord. His children, as his children, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be afraid of as children of God. Let's talk a little bit more about the fear of the Lord. We obey when we fear God. If you fear God or walking in the fear of the Lord, then you obey. John 14, 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And down in verse 21 of that same chapter, he said this, "He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then in John 15:10, Jesus said this, If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Remember that we read that the spirit of the fear of the Lord was upon Jesus, and his delight was in the fear of the Lord. Since his delight was in the fear of the Lord, it was easy for Jesus to keep the commandments of his Father. And he's looking at us and saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's the fear of God that keeps us walking in the love of God. Because we value him so much. We value his presence. We value our time with him. And we don't want to be without him because he's the most important thing in our lives. That's the fear of the Lord. When we fear God, we firmly embrace his heart. When we walk in the fear of God, we firmly embrace the heart of God. We love what he loves and we hate what he hates. We love what God loves and we hate what he hates. When we walk it in the fear of God, we walk it in the fear of the Lord, we firmly embrace his heart. Hebrews 9:1-9 says this, and it's talking about Jesus. It's making a statement about Jesus. Hebrews 1:9, you, talking about Jesus, have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Jesus loved what his Father loved. He hated what his Father hated. And God hates lawlessness, and so did Jesus. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Jesus was anointed more than anyone else. Why? Because he loved what God hate. He loved what God loved, and he hated what God hated. Whatever his Father loved, he loved. He said often, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Why? Because I love what my Father loves and I hate what my Father's hate. I love righteousness because my Father loves righteousness. I hate lawlessness because that's what he hates. Tolerating sins lowers the anointing upon us. If we tolerate sin, we start tolerating sin in our lives, we start tolerating sin in those around us, then it lowers the anointing in our lives. What does it mean not to tolerate sin? Does it mean I don't love the sinner? No, I love the sinner. Does it mean we don't love each other? We love each other. But it means we don't make excuses for sin. We don't tolerate sin. We don't give sin no avenue in our lives and our thoughts and our actions. Because that lowers the anointing of God on us. And what is lawlessness? Since God hates lawlessness, what is lawlessness? We know it's sin. Lawlessness is not being submitted to the authority of God. A lawless person is not being submitted to the authority of God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They stopped being submitted to the authority of God when they ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is there any area in our lives where we are not submitted to the authority of God? We need to think about that. Is there anything I'm doing or saying or thinking that I've not submitted to the authority of God? Is there anything I might be ashamed or afraid to open myself up to God and let God see and know? We can look at Jesus and see what God loves. We can look at Jesus and see what God loves. God loves to see the sick healed. He loved to see sinners repent and come to him. He loved for us to love other people. Let's look at Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Those are the things God hates. We should hate any thought of pride, any area of pride in our life or arrogance. We should hate it and resist it in the name of Jesus, because that's what God hates. He hates perverse mouth, a mouth that does not speak the truth. God hates that, so we ought to make sure that we speak truth. Psalms 19:9 says this, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So we want to do endure forever. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord, because walking in the fear of the Lord is clean, and it helps us endure forever. What? Endure in our steadfast love for God. Endure in our, our walking with the Lord, endure and believe it in faith and all the promises of God. The fear of the Lord help us to endure forever in those things. Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want to know the secrets of the Lord? You want to know more about what's on the heart of God? It's with those who fear him, who reverence him, venerate him, value him more than anything else. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Angels are for protection. Angels bring messages. And it says here, the angels of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. When we fear the Lord, the angels of God encamps round about us. Psalms 34:11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We need to learn. We can learn and be taught the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't fear the Lord, we don't know very much. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom again. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. You want to live a long time? The fear of the Lord prolongs our days. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, our days will be prolonged. For the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 14:26-27. You probably don't have time to turn to these with me because we're short on time today. But just write down the scriptures and you can go back and look at them later. Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Praise the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, we have confidence, and it's a fountain of life, and it turns us away from the snare of death. If we just walk in the fear of the Lord, venerate him, honor him, respect him, value him more than anything else. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So it's in the fear of the Lord that we are instructed and given wisdom. Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So what does walking in the fear of the Lord look like? I'm going to give you 4 points. To walk in the fear of the Lord? How do you know if you're walking in the fear of the Lord? What is the manifestation or outward appearance of someone truly walking in the fear of the Lord? One of the characteristics is we obey him instantly. We obey him instantly. Why do I obey him instantly? Because I value him more than anything else. And I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to hurt him. I want to please him. So I obey him instantly. This is not talking about, you know, maybe you hear something here and you think it's God and you want to try to make sure it's God before you do it. This is not talking about this. This is talking about once you know what God wants you to do, once you know what God is saying, you obey him instantly. And I've had times when God spoke to me, I just obeyed instantly. I didn't have time to think about it or wonder, was it God or should I do it or should I not do it? I just obeyed him without thinking about it. So we want to be walking in the fear of the Lord to the point we obey him instantly. And I remember the incident along the highway when I was going to Raleigh, and I was behind this work truck that had a ladder on the back of it. And all of a sudden, I was prompted to move over to the next lane behind that truck. I obeyed instantly, and that saved me, because the moment I obeyed and took my car in another lane beside the truck, that ladder flew right off that truck, right behind where I would have been had I not obeyed instantly. Number two, obey him even if it doesn't make sense. Lord knows, that's a big one, ain't it? Obey him even if it don't make sense. Have you ever obeyed God and did something he told you to do and it didn't make a lick of sense to you, but you did it because God said it? That's what he would lead you to do. So when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, one of the manifestations is you obey him even if it doesn't make sense. Number three, obey him even if it hurts. And it's going to hurt our flesh. It might hurt our pride. It might hurt, you know, but obey him even if it hurts. Number four, obey him even if we don't see a benefit. Obey him even if it don't, if we don't see a benefit. And I know we're going over because we got started late, but bear with me. Obey him even if we don't see a benefit. Number five, obey him to completion. Don't stop and give up. Obey him to completion. I'm going to tell y'all this, and I never told it on out this public before. But this is not the first time I started a ministry, started a church. My children know this. I started a church in Wendell one time. And I believe that's what God called me to do. He never told me he didn't call me there. And I believe it was led by him to go there and start it. And my children came. And my husband, he wouldn't go. My children went. And I tried to get my pastor to come down. And he said he was going to come. And he didn't come. But my children were being taught the word of God. They were enjoying. And they were being fed. And they told me since then, that, you know, Mama, we were being fed. You were giving us the word of God. So we were enjoying the church. So I should have kept on going, but this is what I did. I didn't obey him to completion, because I said, Lord, I said, how did I put that thing? Oh, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to quit unless you tell me otherwise. I didn't say, Lord, do you want me to keep going? I put it in a way that I thought was helping me quit, because I wanted to quit. And so I did quit. But God didn't tell me to quit. I quit because that's what I wanted to do. I didn't obey him to completion, you know, and maybe that's helping me this second time around, because now I'm willing to obey him to completion. So obey him to completion. Obey him till you complete what God has said do. So let's look at someone as an example of that. Genesis 22, 3 through 12. Abraham obeyed God when he was told to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was called a friend of God. Abraham obeyed God instantly because God told him to take Isaac, go to this mountain, and sacrifice Isaac. Abraham got things ready, told the servant to get things ready, and I think they left the next day. It did not make any sense to Abraham to go take Isaac to this mountain and sacrifice him, because it was through Isaac that the Abraham's seed was going to be blessed and come through. He was a promised child. So I know it didn't make any sense to Abraham. How's Isaac going to be the promised child? How's my seed going to come through him if I go sacrifice him? If I go kill him? Sacrifice me, he was supposed to go kill him. It didn't make no sense. I'm quite sure it hurt Abraham to hear God tell him to do that. And I'm quite sure Abraham didn't see any benefit in it. But Abraham, go ahead and read the story. Abraham obeyed to completion. He went to the mountain, took Isaac with him. Matter of fact, Isaac asked the Lord, he said, Father, says, where's the sacrifice? It was just him and his father. And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. He put Isaac on the sacrifice, on the altar that he sacrificed with. He tied him down and drew back the knife and was getting ready to sacrifice and kill his son, because that's what God said do. Then God interrupted him and said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you would not withhold anything from me, don't harm Isaac. But then the ram in a thicket was there, and God told him, take that ram and sacrifice that ram. Abraham met all five of these qualifications by walking in the fear of the Lord. I believe Moses was called a friend of God. Israel forfeited knowing God's ways. They only knew his acts. They did not walk in the fear of God. Moses knew God's ways because he walked in the fear of God. Did you know that God does not call all his children's friends? We sing that song about being a friend of God, but God does not call all his children friends. All of us know Jesus. All of us that know him are children and servants of God, but not all of us are his friends. He does not share everything with children and servants, but he does share everything with his friends. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. That's what he said. In conclusion, Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. The early church walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. What brings the authoritative manifest presence of God? The authority of the king into a room, the holy fear of God. We are the ones who choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. We choose. Proverbs 1:28-29. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The children of Israel did not choose the fear of the Lord, but we, this morning, let us choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all those that heard the word this morning. We thank you for letting us know that we can embrace the fear of the Lord. We can embrace walking in fear before you, Lord. Now that we know and understand that we don't have to be afraid of you. We have nothing to hide from you. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We can trust you so we can learn day by day to walk in venerating you. We can walk in valuing you. We can walk in respecting you and honoring you above anything and anyone else. So God, we embrace walking in the fear of the Lord this morning. We embrace loving what you love. We embrace hating what you hate. Even if when we see it in our own selves, God, let us hate what you hate in our own character and thoughts and life and resist it in your name, Jesus, that we might embrace your heart and walk with you in the fear of the Lord. We thank you this morning, Father God. Give you glory, give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.